in agreement with what Barbara said a few minutes ago. Welcome, visitors. We appreciate you coming. If you have a church home, be faithful to your church home and visit us every chance you get. And if you're looking for a church home, prayerfully consider that we need good people like you here. Amen? Praise the Lord. How about, did the kids already go upstairs? They went upstairs. Let's go with them. I just love kiddos. Kids are more fun than people. Amen? You know, I raised three kids, and I'm in the process of helping raise my kids' kids and their kids' kids, and it just keeps multiplying and getting bigger all the time. Once you get to my age and your three kids multiply into grandkids and great-grandkids, and then as they turn marriageable age, your family grows real fast, you know, and mine's in that speed up mode right now where the great grands are going to outrun us all here pretty soon. We just heard this week of another one on the way. I don't know how that happened. Are you happy this morning? Well, good. We've got a theme today the Lord put in our hearts. And the theme is joy. I'd like to call it, there's joy in the camp. And there's a lot that can be said about joy, but I would like for the Word of God to help us understand today joy. The Word will teach and preach itself if we give it the opportunity. And so as we read the Word today, we just pray that Word will gel in us, you know, get inside of us, make a change in us, teach us. Amen. Let's just pray about that. Father, in Jesus' name, as we read your Word today, we ask for the impartation of your Word by the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, our hearts will be sensitive to your Spirit, and that as we hear your Word, it will be applied to our lives, and it come on the inside of us and do the mighty work of your Word in us and bring the changes that we need and the help and the encouragement and the healing that we need. Lord, we long for your Word, and we lean upon your Word. We trust in your Word, and we enjoy hearing your Word as it is preached and taught. Lord, we pray your anointing will be upon us as we deliver your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. If that little boy was here, he could say, in Jesus' name, amen. That's so sweet. Amen. I really appreciate you being here this morning. I want to read Psalms 126. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, and we'll probably have that up on the board this morning. Psalms 126. And we're going to be talking about joy. Last Sunday, Lucy opened the service last Sunday, and she started talking about joy. And ever since then, I've just had a joy theme in my heart. And the scriptures I've went through all week have just been connected to joy. And Psalms 126, did we find that? It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, that means deliverance. Zion, being Israel, was delivered by the power of God. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. And then our mouth was filled with what? So is laughter in the Bible? Do you think laughter is a result of God bringing deliverance? Laughter is a result of freedom from captivity. Amen? Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Isn't that what we want the nations and the heathen and those around us to say about us? We want them to see what God's doing in our lives and say, the Lord has done great things for that bunch of fanatics down at Faith Ministries Church. Amen. Hallelujah. I want that to be said of us. And then in verse 3, he goes on, he says, the Lord has done great things, and we are glad. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad. Now, of course, glad would be a synonym to joy. And then in verse 4, he says, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the sea in the south. Now, watch verse 5. Those who sow in tears. Now, sowing has to do with like planting. Like if you plant seeds in the ground, you're sowing those seeds into the ground. And those who sow tears will reap what? And many of you ever sowed some tears? You cried about something. Did you ever cry about something? You know, even us old big, tough, macho guys, you know, we break down and cry once in a while. It didn't hurt us at all. Hallelujah. But did you see there that if we sow, if we plant tears, what do we reap? Yeah. If you plant seeds in your flower bed or in your garden, you're going to have the result's going to be a plant. Amen? And then that turns to a harvest. It's like it just has to happen. Well, if you've been sowing tears, you've been crying over some things, you qualify to reap some joy. Do you need that? I need it. I need it. Amen. We don't cry forever. We don't weep forever. We don't sow tears forever. But we qualify for the harvest and the reaping of joy. So every time, you know, you get down and down and down and you have to look up to see down. I mean, you just get so down, you think it's all over. You're going to throw in the towel, you know. And we need to realize at those times, you know, it's about time for me to reap some joy. And when you get that revelation, it's about time to start kicking the devil in the teeth and just laugh in his face, whether you feel like it or not. If you laugh in the devil's face, whether you feel like it or not, pretty soon you'll begin to feel like it. Amen? Hallelujah. And because you have a right. Divine providence gives you a right. God Almighty gives you a right to joy when you have sown in tears. Amen. This is good news, folks. I know many of us have sown a lot of tears. Well, I'm ready for the joy. I'm ready for the harvest of joy. Verse 6. He who continually goes forth weeping. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Bearing seed for sowing. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. How about that? Bringing his sheaves or his grain with him. Amen. We shall harvest some joy, folks. You know, don't miss a chance to say amen. Because when you say amen, that signifies that you agree. And the Bible says when even two or three agree on anything, it shall be done. So you're going to harvest some joy. Yeah, we agree with that, don't we? And so it shall be done according to the word of God. Before this service is over, some of us are just going to be so joyful. Amen? Just let it flow. Just let the joy rise up and flow and just crowd everything else out. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. When last Sunday, when Lucy opened with an exhortation on joy, my first visualization, in my imagination, I begin to remember a scripture in Exodus where Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they had came to the Red Sea, and the sea was before them, and they didn't know how to cross it. And behind them, the Egyptian army was pursuing them, ready to take their heads. It was a serious situation. They were the Egyptians crowding them up on their back, and in front of them, the impassable, uncrossable sea. Now, I heard one time that one of the modern, I don't know what you'd call him, modern anthropologist or modern scientists and such things, they had studied the area where they thought maybe the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and they said it was only 6 inches deep. I mean, how easy for them to cross. They didn't need God. And a little boy hearing him said, well, I got a question for you. you say that the Red Sea was just 6 inches deep and there was no miracle involved. He said, how did all those Egyptians get drowned in 6 inches of water? Because as the Bible story proceeds, once the children of Israel got across, the Egyptians' army tried to cross with them, behind them, and they all drowned because the sea came back upon them. Now, how'd they drown in 6 inches of water? It was a miracle. It was a miracle. Sometimes a little boy, like that when it came up here, yeah? Sometimes a little boy's got the answer. We just need to listen to him. Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't we read that account in Exodus 15, starting with verse 19? Read about three verses there. Did you find it? For the horses of Pharaoh went with the chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel had went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And then Miriam the prophetess, I'm going to give you the short version of this. Miriam the prophetess was over 80 years old. She was Moses and Aaron's sister. And Moses was 80 years old when this took place, and he had a sister 6 or 8 years older than him when it took. So she was probably 86, 88, maybe 90 years old. And she gets a tambourine. Man, I wish I had a tambourine. We got one up there. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Miriam, the age of my precious mother that sits back there in the back, gets a tambourine, and she begins to lead them in singing and rejoicing and dancing. Whoa! Do we have a grandmother here today that'd like to lead the singing? Amen? Yeah! Yeah, I tell you what, there's another miracle in the camp. Amen? Hallelujah! When Grandma Miriam gets out there with her tambourine and says, come on, girls, it's time to dance. Let's read on. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, which was a brother of Moses, took the timbrel or the tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with their timbrels, tambourines, and with what? You know, if God's people can dance on the Red Sea shore, God's people can dance in church. Any of you ladies want to stand up and do a little jig, you just help yourself. What's the next verse say? 21. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord. Who is singing to? Sing to the Lord. Why? For he has triumphed gloriously. I mean, that's a big triumph. That's a happy triumph. That's a joyful triumph. When he triumphs gloriously and the horse and its rider, he's thrown into the sea. Oh, hallelujah. When it looks hopeless, God moves in and changes the situation, and that produces joy. And it's our part to respond to the joy that's being generated at times like this. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, over in the New Testament, I want to show you something else that produces joy. As we look at things today that produce joy, we can begin to relate to some of these things and say, you know, I qualify for that. I need some joy, and I'm going to qualify for that. Amen? And in Acts chapter 8, we'll read verses 4 through 8. Are we ready? Now, this is in the New Testament. This is where the disciples were preaching the New Testament gospel after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And those who were scattered, what it was, just to give you a little background here on this first sentence, there was a lot of persecution in the land, and a lot of the people didn't like Christians. You know, in that time of history, you know, the Romans didn't like Christians, the Jews didn't like Christians, anybody that had anything to do with Jesus, they didn't like it. And so there was a lot of persecution, a lot of tribulation, a lot of bad things going on, people getting thrown in jail, people getting beaten, and it was just a bad time. And it scattered the Christians, and those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Don't be afraid of a little bit of tribulation and scattering. You just get the preacher over there. Huh? They scatter you over here, preach over there. Amen. You get scattered over there, preach over there. You know, I tend to apply things like this to my own experiences. And I can remember as a little boy, and we had a lot of dandelions. And when the dandelions in the lawn would, when they would mature, they would have this little ball upon them, a little fuzzy ball about 6 inches tall above the dandelion. And with, as little boys, we'd run, we'd kick that ball, and hundreds of seeds would be caught in the air and just be scattered everywhere. I call it the dandelion effect. That's what happened when the tribulation came along, and when the devil kicked the ball to try to destroy the dandelion, the Christians, they just scattered like that dandelion seed and just went all over the place, preaching the word. And then what happened in the next verse? And then Philip, one of the men of God, went down to the city of Samaria. He preached Christ to them. And then the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles he did. And then unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Amen. And watch this. And there was what? Great joy in the city. Now, in these four short verses, we go from persecution and tribulation to a scattering, to a preaching, to the moving of the Holy Spirit through the disciples in miracles and healings. And this whole process of things all had to do with the production and the rising of what? Joy. God took something that man thought was bad. God took something that the devil intended for bad. And he said, we're going to make some joy out of this. What do they say about lemons? When life is a lemon, you make lemonade. Huh? Isn't that what they say? They probably say that in Spanish too, don't they? Yeah. There you go. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, outward circumstances can affect your happy, but they can't touch your joy. When outward circumstances get rough, when it gets tough, your happy may get hurt and cool down. But the joy on the inside can't be touched by circumstances. You just, you know, I don't have this one in my notes, but many of you Bible scholars and people who read the Bible, you know that along here about halfway through the book of Acts, that Paul and Silas had been preaching the gospel, and the authorities of the day caught them and said, you can't do that, and they beat them with stripes, and their back was sore and bloody, and then they put them in stocks, you know, and had their head and their feet and their hands in stocks, and their backs were bleeding. And at midnight in the dark of the jail, they started singing praises to the Lord. They were in a hard place, bad, tough circumstance. But when they began to rejoice, the joy came forth in the form of an earthquake and shook all the chains loose and set them free. And the jailer says, oh no, they're going to take my head because I've let the prisoners escape. And Paul said, do yourself no harm. The Lord's in this, and everybody's going to stay in jail that's supposed to be in jail. Don't you worry about it. And the jailer said, what do I need to do to get saved? Amen. So, you know, in the middle of lots of trial and test and tribulation and persecution, it's tough. But it qualifies you for the joy to come. I mean, every time the devil gets on your case and it gets rough, just remember that that's qualifying you for some joy. And it's time for us to rise up in faith and say, I'm ready for my joy. Devil, get out of my face. I want to walk in joy. I want to live in joy. Amen? Now, we're going to go back to the Old Testament again. We're just going to kind of bounce around the Bible here. Psalms 30, put that up, please. Psalms 30, verse 5. It's talking about God here. His anger. You know, God can get angry. Yeah, we're created in His image, so we're like Him, and He's like us. You ever get angry? Well, God gets angry. You ever get happy? Well, God gets happy, yeah. But His anger is but for a moment. But His favor. But His favor. But His favor is for life. and weeping. Back to the crying, the weeping. It may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? I'm telling you what, you may have been crying yourself to sleep, but the sun's going to come up in the morning anyway. Huh? Amen. Now, bouncing back to the New Testament in John 16, 22. Are you ready for some joy? I believe, as Lucy said in her exhortation last Sunday, I believe that we as Christians have joy in us. Sometimes it just gets hidden or hindered or covered up, but it's still in there. The Holy Spirit's in there. The Holy Spirit lives inside of a Christian, no matter what that Christian's going through. He's in there. Amen? Well, if he's in there, joy's in there, because joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So he's in there. You may think, well, I don't feel like it. Well, it don't matter how you feel. He's in there. Amen? Where am I? John. St. John 16, 22. Jesus is speaking. He said, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I'll see you again. See, he had just been talking to him about the fact he was going to be crucified and leave. They were sad dudes. Hey? But he said, I'll see you again, and your heart will rejoice, as Charles said this morning, rejoice. Your joy is coming back, and your joy no one will take from you. The world can't take your joy away. We used to sing a little song along that line. I don't remember it well enough to sing it to you, but it said, "The joy we have joy, the world can't take it away." Remember that song? I have joy and the world can't take it away. The world can't take it away. The world can't take it away. The joy that the Holy Spirit has on the inside of you cannot be removed by the world. That joy is securely in you, and you and I need to recognize that that joy is securely in us, and we need to call on it. You know, it's okay to say, Jesus, I'm ready for my joy to rise. Lord, I need some of that joy the preacher was talking about. Lord, I'm ready for some of that joy that your word keeps saying is in there. Joy is important. But it only does us good if we'll recognize it and draw on it. Amen? You know, God has a lot of benefits. The Christian walk has many benefits, but we need to draw on them and use them. Amen. Now in Acts chapter 5, we got something interesting here. Acts 5:40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called the apostles, they had beaten them. New Testament's full of a lot of beating of the apostles. Man, they're beating up on those guys all the time, weren't they? Rough, tough. I mean, they crucified Jesus. That's tough. And then those that followed him, they'd beaten on him all the time. Just beaten on him all the time. And when they had beaten the disciples, they commanded them they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And then they let them go. And so they departed from the presence of that council, the ones that beat them, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, that don't make sense. That don't make sense to the natural mind. But it makes sense to joy. It makes sense to joy. God says, I'm going to turn that beating around and we're going to begin to call it joy. I'm going to turn that persecution around and you're going to begin to experience joy. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm ready, aren't you? Amen. Let's go on. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. Great is my boldness. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. It says, great is my boldness of speech towards you, and great is my boasting on your behalf, and I'm filled with comfort, and I'm exceedingly joyful in all. Wow. In what? I'm joyful in what? Evidently, he had a revelation. We need to get that revelation. See, the devil wants us to think that in the tribulation, it's all over. In the tribulation, throw in the towel. In the tribulation, just give it up. In the tribulation, let's just go get drunk. Huh? But Paul had a revelation that joy was on the inside of him. And he began to draw, by faith, draw on that joy. And in the middle of tribulation, he said, here comes some joy. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to let the joy rise, no matter how it looks, no matter how bad it hurts. I'm going to let the joy rise. Are you with me this morning? And so what does this tell me? It tells me that there are various triggers. I'm going to call them triggers. Tribulation triggers joy. Beatings for the cause of Christ trigger joy. Huh? Certain things trigger the joy. Bring it to the surface. Amen. And it's part of how God brings it all about so that we might have joy. Now, Isaiah 35:10, we're bouncing back and forth, New Testament, Old Testament. And if you're really quick, you know, you can go to the front of your Bible and look at the index and find the page number and then find the book in the Bible. You know, if you're really quick. But if you're not as quick as some people like me, you kind of depend on looking at it up here. This sure is nice. In Isaiah 35:10, the ransom to the Lord. Who read that this morning? Charles was getting my message this morning here in the beginning. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. And with everlasting, huh? How much lasting? Does it say with temporary joy on their heads? What's it say? Everlasting joy. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is our divine biblical right. You can shake this in front of the devil. He won't want to read it. He's scared to death of God's word. But you can make him read it, and it'll make him run. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's move on. Back to New Testament again. Luke 15, verse 10. Did we get it? Jesus again is speaking. He says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy. In the presence of who? The angels of God. Over one sinner that repents? You mean to tell me that if one sinner repents, all angels in heaven throw a party? That's the way I'm reading it. Evidently, there's something really special in the heart of God and in the heart of angels when a sinner repents. I don't know about you, but I have been a sinner. In fact, don't ask my wife when I sinned last. She may bring this sermon up to current daily. I don't know. But if I repent, what happens? Joy, 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 joy. Juanito gets messing around. Hurts his wife's feelings. And his conscience says, you need to repent before God and ask forgiveness from your wife. And so he, you know, finally gets up enough courage. Honey, I'm sorry. Lord, you know, I had a right to say that, but I shouldn't have said it. Lord, I'm sorry. And about that time, a whole troop of angels say, Juanito has repented. Bring on the pastel. Let's have a party. Yeah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, you be careful. You will be in trouble. They're pointing to your wife. It blesses me to know that even angels long for joy and have a way to get it and a way to express it, reasons to possess it and enjoy it. Joy must be really important because it's not only for us, it's for all of heaven. Now, in 1 Peter 1, 7 and 8, Peter here is talking that the genuineness of your faith is being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. How many of you have ever seen Jesus? But do you still love him? You know, that takes faith. God has given us faith to love someone we've never seen. Think of that. And that love is genuine. That love is rich. That love is for real. I mean, you can't take my love of Jesus away. It's in there like that joy. It's my love for Jesus is real. I've got it. And the world can't take it away. But I haven't seen him. That's in the faith realm. That means that you've got faith and I've got faith and we can believe in Jesus who we have not seen. And then, yet believing. Though you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy. Inexpressible. King James Version says, unspeakable. Full of glory. Is saying that the joy is so good, that the joy is so hot, that the joy is so awesome that you don't have words to express it. And so the closest thing you can have to your expression of joy is to get up and dance. Let me ask you something about a baby. Anybody here hold a baby in your arms? Did you ever notice that it's an automatic response for them to clap their hands? It's an automatic response to joy for them to dance. They may even be in your arms and their feet on the floor, but when that baby is in a good mood and that baby's being treated right, when the joy rises in that baby, it's automatically going to start moving, clapping its hand and dancing and giggling. And it's automatic. You don't have to teach that baby to act happy. That baby has something built in on the inside that just automatically kicks in with a dance when joy rises in his little heart. Well, we need to be like that. Be spontaneous to the joy that's within us and let your feet move, baby. Hallelujah. Let your feet move. Amen. Even if you're embarrassed about the way you dance, well then, find a moment when nobody's looking and just dance the carpet off the floor. Dancing good for you, just like laughter's good for you. Joy's good for you. The movement of your feet and the movement of your hands in rejoicing and praising God, it's good for a girl and it's good for a boy. Yeah. We used to sing a song. My mama used to play the piano to this song. Well, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Remember that song? Yeah, these old guys like me remember that song. Yeah. Look at Psalms 51:12. In Psalms 51:12, the Bible says, and this is King David, was I believe it's David, one of the psalmists, was saying, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Restoring joy, restoring joy. Now, please forgive me if I say it like this. Lord, restore the expression of joy. Because I really believe the joy is still in there no matter what's going on. And so I would like to, with the Lord's permission, say, restore unto me the expression of joy. Sometimes we've got the joy, and we even have a reason for joy, and the trigger's going off to say, you need to be joying. And there's, you know, we get down, we get clouded, we get foggy, we get covered up with circumstances, you know. The wife goes into disobedience and won't do what you say, and you know, it's just... And sometimes it's hard to be joyful when you've got every reason to be joyful. And so maybe we need to be like the psalmist and say, Lord, restore my expression. Restore the joy of my salvation. Lord, remind me that I'm saved. He said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Brother Juanito, it should make us bubbling with joy to realize that we're saved. Just the realization, the revelation that I'm born again. I don't have to burn in hell. That's a pretty good reason to rejoice. Amen. Lord, restore unto me the expression of joy. I want to express joy. And joy is in me wanting to rise and desiring to express itself. Lord, help me to quit pushing joy back down and help me to release joy to rise. Amen. Hallelujah. Experience is a good teacher. And I've had enough experiences to have learned a few things. And one of the things I have learned that joy is hindered when I am in disobedience to God. If God has put in my heart to do something and I am not doing it, if God has put in my heart to say something and I'm not saying it, if I am in any kind of disobedient mode, if I'm looking at the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing in an act of disobedience, it just really, what's the word? Hinders my joy. And so my own experience tells me if disobedience hinders my joy, then obedience is going to bless and increase my joy. And so if you, like me, have found yourself in any form of disobedience and your joy is pushed down because of it, then let's come into a place of repentance and obedience so that our joy can be released and rise to the glory of God. Can you relate to that one? Amen. We're not all perfect. And we know it. So we just need to become obedient, repentive, obedient, and get dancing. Get right with God and get dancing. Tell somebody, get right with God and get dancing. God is so good. We say that so much because He is. Galatians 5:22 says, has a whole list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one of those beautiful fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. That, among many other verses, teach us that joy comes from the Holy Spirit. He's like the source of joy. And so when we accept Jesus as our Savior, when we commit our way to Christ, when we repent of our sins, and when we invite the Holy Spirit to come live in our life and become Lord of our life, He brings with Him His fruits, His attributes, His nature. And part of that is the joy of the Lord. Now, I don't think we looked at Nehemiah, did we? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't even know if I have that one in my notes, do I? Try Nehemiah 8:10. That was way back on the second one on the notes, and I missed it. I want us to look at Nehemiah 8:10. Now, the prophet Nehemiah here is talking to the people of God that are rebuilding Jerusalem. He says, go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to those for whom nothing has been prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord, and do not sorrow. They're in a process of rebuilding the walls of the city that the enemy had torn down. And he, the prophet declares a holy day unto the Lord for the rebuilding of the walls. And he says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You remember that one? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody said, preacher, keep preaching. I think I sang pretty good, don't you? I mean, now, I really like this scripture, and I like to use this scripture to teach me some things. The joy of the Lord, whose joy is that? The Lord's joy is a strength to me. Now, I like to look at it a whole different way, and it's still true. I am a father, and when my children are in strength, I have joy. And so I could say, my strength, starting on the end of it there, my strength makes the joy of the Lord rise. My strength makes the Lord joyful. Now, how can I say that? Why would I say it? Because my children's strength make me happy. If your children are sick, you're sad. But when your children are strong and have strength and have health, it brings a joy to your heart. Amen? So the joy of the Lord is my strength. And my strength is the joy of the Lord. I hope I got that through. I didn't want to confuse you with something simple. The joy of the Lord comes from me being strong. And I am strong when I have the joy of the Lord. I mean, it all just ties together. Whether you flip it or flop it or heads or tails, you know, flipping the coin. It just all works. And it's all tied in with the expression of joy, making things better for us. Amen? Oh, the Lord is so good. I want us to take a minute to pray about all this. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've heard a number of scriptures today concerning joy. And we have heard from your word that joy comes from you, that you are the joy that is within us. We've heard of things that trigger joy, things that produce joy. We've seen by your word that things that joy created and the attitudes that it created. Lord, joy is so much a part of your kingdom life. And Lord, I just pray that we'll get a better revelation of the joy of the Lord. That we'll get a better revelation, a more clear revelation of the joy of the Lord. Lord, that verse of Psalms 126 that we started with, those that go forth weeping will come forth with joy. And Lord, I believe I could safely say that every person in here at one time or the other, maybe even today, we have all experienced the weeping and the sorrowful moments and the reasons to be sorrowful. But Lord, according to your word in Psalms 126, this all qualifies us to reap some joy. And Lord, I'm praying for this congregation this morning that they will begin today to reap the joy that is due them. Lord, they have planted, they have sown precious tears. Tears of love, tears of compassion. Even our tears of sorrow many times are full of tears of compassion and tears of desire for the right things and for things to turn around. Lord, our tears are precious to you. And it would appear that even our sorrow can be precious to you. And Lord, as we sow these things in our path along this life, we qualify for the joy to be harvested. And Lord, I'm praying for this congregation this morning, that the men, the women, the boys and girls, that we'll begin to harvest the joy that is due us. Lord, if because joy is ours, we want to obtain it, express it, and enjoy it. Lord, I don't want to look at my life in days to come and say, you know, I had a lot of joy to express and I just squelched it. I kept it down. I just let circumstances hide it. Lord, I don't want that to be in my future. Lord, I want to be able to look back on things and say, you know, those things I passed through, in the end result, brought joy to my life when I saw the salvation of the Lord. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that we will see your salvation today. That we will see your victory over trial and tribulation and persecution. That we'll see your victory over sorrow. Father, I'm praying for joy. Because joy is your will, then we can have it by praying for it. Lord, you said when we pray according to your will, we have what we pray for. And Lord, having joy and expressing joy is your will. So we have a right to it. You have given it. You have given us joy. It's your gift to us. And Lord, by faith, we receive our joy today. We receive our joy today. We will laugh in the face of the devil. We'll laugh in the face of destruction because we know the salvation of the Lord. Oh, it is ours. Lord, we love you so much and we need you in our lives, Lord. And Lord, I just bless this congregation with the joy of the Lord this morning. Lord, may we all come to a place of joy and rejoicing and reminder of the promises of your word. Thank you, Lord, for blessing this people today. Thank you for blessing this people today, Lord. I want you by faith to just raise your hands and begin to receive joy right now. By faith, raise your hands and say, Lord, I receive the joy. I receive the joy. Restore unto me, Lord, the expression of joy. I want to be reminded of the joy of my salvation. Lord, I surrender to you. All my sorrows. I surrender to you all my tribulation. I surrender to you all my sins. And I ask, Lord, that joy will fill my life. Lord, just let the joy fill my life this morning. Now, if it is appropriate to do so, let your hand reach over and touch someone and begin to pray for them that the joy of the Lord will rise in their life. Just begin to pray for that person. Lord, I'll bless this person with joy. Fill this person, this loved one, this man, this woman beside me. Fill them with the joy of the Lord. Lord, bless their life with joy. Let them feel joy. Let them experience joy. Let them be encouraged by joy. Let them be strengthened by joy. The joy, your joy, O Lord, is their strength. Health strength, mental strength, financial strength, psychological strength, family strength, job strength, all the areas of our life that need strength, raising children strength, all these areas that need strength, Lord, we just call on the power and the strength of your joy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'd like for you to stand to your feet. I release joy in Jesus' name. I release it. Those who have in faith can join this prayer. We release joy in Jesus' name. We release the joy of the Lord in this congregation. We release the joy of the Lord in each family. We release the joy of the Lord in each individual. We release your joy, O Lord. Your joy will not be hindered or held back. We release this joy of the Lord in Jesus' name. We will be an expression of joy to the glory of God. And we will be an expression of joy to the benefit of our families. We will be joy in the world. Unspeakable, inexpressible joy. Joy so awesome that we don't know how to explain it. Oh, we're going to let the joy be in our feet, and the joy be in our hands, and the joy be in our singing, and the joy be in our very eyes, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for joy. 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 Well, can I sing one more little song to you? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. You got the joy?
Yes.
Barbara's going to pray for you. For anyone that, oh, she wants to say something.
I need for every one of you guys to please pray for my son. Daniel Nevarez, he's in ICU in Tucson. His pancreas collapsed. So I appreciate you guys pray for him. Thank you.
Collapsed pancreas. That's got to hurt. Reach your hands towards Tucson in the name of Jesus. Is that over that way? That way right out there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless Daniel, is it?
Yes.
We bless Daniel. And Lord, there's no distance or limits to prayer. And we just send our prayers of faith to Daniel. And we ask that the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle of life and health, will go into his pancreas and every organ in his body. That he will live and not die to the glory of God. That he will live and not die to the glory of God. He will live and not die to give testimony to the power of God. Lord, fill that pancreas full of life and joy. Fill his body, his very physical person, with the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord. Lord, save him, Lord. Save him spirit, soul, and body. Let his entire person be saved from sin and saved from death and saved from destruction. Lord, you said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you said you came to give life and that life more abundantly. And we just speak life into Daniel's body right now in Jesus' name. Life, 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 life. Life, life, life. Life, life, life. Pancreas, live. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah. We're expecting a miracle testimony about Daniel's pancreas.
Pastor, I want to say something, but in Spanish, and you say, tell them in English.
Okay. Come here, Juanito. She's going to do it in Spanish, and you do it in
Quiero decirles que mi hijo Ricardo, que está en Phoenix, está necesitando mucho un riñón. Yo ya se lo pedí al Señor y yo sé que ya viene, pero él apresura su palabra para ponerla por obra. Quiero que lo apresure porque lo está necesitando mucho mi hijo en Phoenix. Es el segundo de mis hijos, Ricky Parra.
Yo
She said that her son Ricardo Parra needs a kidney, and she's been praying for it, but she needs the Lord to hurry because he needs it bad. So we declaring that the Lord is going to provide that kidney very fast. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is his name? ¿Cómo se llama?
Ricky Parra.
Ricky? Ricardo. Ricardo. Ricky Parra. Okay, take her by the hand. Give her a hug and some strength there. Ricky Parra. Lord, we just pray for Ricky, Lord, in Phoenix. Again, Lord, there's no distance, no limit to prayer. And by faith, over these heavenly spiritual airways, we send healing and salvation to Ricky Parra. Healing, healing, healing. That from the top of his head to the tips of his toes, he will be made whole. That the joy of the Lord will be his strength. Lord, we just say, Ricky Parra, in Jesus' name, live and rejoice in the Lord. Lord, we pray that every doctor, every nurse, every technician that touches him will do him good and no harm. That everyone that has anything to do with his health will do him good and no harm. That every word that's spoken over him will be positive, faith-filled words. Lord, in Jesus' name, Ricky, live and glorify God. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, give God an applause for what he did. God's at work. God's at work, isn't he? Amen. Well, what I want you to do now is find about 50 people. Can you say 49-50? 49-50. Find about 50 people and give them a hug and a kiss. And let the joy of the Lord shine in your eyes as you greet them. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.